This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور Subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid summarizes for us the story of this life when he says, all life really is, all this hayat ad-dunya, all the low life really is, meaning the life that is based on nothing but instincts and whims and desires. The life of mammals, meaning. The life that has no meaning or purpose to it. All it really is game, play, distractions, lahu, zina, adornments, luxuries, leisure. Seeking some form of hierarchy, tafakhurun bainakum. Seeking more of all that you want, takathurun fil amwali wal awlad. It's just like rain. When it comes down from the sky, the farmers are happy with it. They're happy with the green that comes from the earth because of it. And that green that seems so youthful and strong and beautiful and filled with life very soon becomes yellow. And then it dies and is taken by the wind. It's lost forever. And life is that fragile and that simple. And in the Akhirah, it's either a severe punishment or a beautiful forgiveness and compassion from the Almighty. And this life is nothing but an illusion. A lot of has happened this week, and I will address, inshallah, a number of of issues that have occurred and are occurring. But I do want to go through the khutbah that I had planned. The contemporary issues series that I began at the beginning of the summer that will continue, inshallah, towards the end of this month or mid of next month. I've talked about a number of topics that I think are important for us as Muslims during these times. And I chose things that maybe 100 years ago, a khatib wouldn't have to get on a minbar and talk about. That's why I'm calling them contemporary issues. And when I talked about relationships and marriage, I don't think 100 years ago, the khutbah had to talk about it as much as I did. I gave like 4 or 5 khutbahs on the topic. And apparently a lot of people aren't even happy with the addressing of the issue. Because people had clarity on what relationships were based upon and how to actually maintain a marriage. We didn't have a lot of problems that we have today. I don't think 100 years ago, talking about climate change would have had any meaning to it whatsoever. Talking about hypersexual exposure would have been meaningless 100 years ago. And I think digital addictions would be just the same. If a khatib in 1930 got on the minbar and started talking about digital addictions, people would look at him and wonder if he had lost his mind. But these are contemporary problems. We are living in a time where things are very different. And we're facing dilemmas that we don't really have good solutions for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left us with a beautiful, beautiful system of life. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's legacy is magnificent. As he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith in Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and others with an authentic chain narration, taraktukum ala al-mahajjati al-bayda layliha kanahariha la yazighu anha ba'di illa halik. I left you on a pure sheet, it's a pure page, a pure leaf. It's clear, there's nothing that it's day and it's night are equal. I mean, you see clearly through both. You only get distracted or go astray someone who does not want to walk the straight path that I have left you. And I feel that's what we're struggling with. A lot of these problems come from the fact that we just stopped being Muslim. Like a lot of these problems, a lot of these contemporary issues exist because at some point we just decided that it's nice to have the word on a piece of documentation. Maybe not even that. It's a part of your, it just became a cultural aspect. You have the Eids and Ramadan, you eat a lot at night and stuff like that. But to actually live the legacy that the Prophet ﷺ left us, it became lost. We all know that. I'm not sharing with you anything that you're hearing for the first time. We all know that we did that. We did that consciously, all of us. We all consciously decided to put Islam in the back seat and pick and choose what we like from it. And leave the stuff that we don't. We cherry-picked for a very long time, all of us, as individuals, as families living in the East and the West and the Center, old and young. We all did this. We are all accountable and responsible and guilty of this. All of us, wallahi. I think that it is very therapeutic for everyone here to admit that to themselves. Just admit that to yourself and you will feel so much better when you do. You will feel so much better when you admit that you have been cherry-picking about Islam all your life, that we've been doing this all through our existence, that we take the thing that works for us and we let out the piece that doesn't. You know, I don't like that piece. I have a sheikh who says that we don't have to do that one. Or there's an imam somewhere on YouTube who said that's not important. I don't have to do that cherry-picking. But nonetheless, these topics still have to be talked about. Digital addictions. I addressed the hypersexual exposure piece a few khutbas ago. That's not what I'm here to talk about today, actually. I'm here to talk about something a little bit different. 50% of teenagers consider themselves addicted to their phones. 12% admit that they're addicted to video games. That's those who admit to it. 12% admit to it. You understand how hard it is to get a teenager to admit to anything? 12% of them admit to be addicted to video games. 12%. Times that by four. By a fourfold, if you want to know the actual number. People look at their phone 96 times a day. If you're awake for 16 hours, that means once every 10 minutes. That is the behavior of someone who's addicted to a substance. Something that you think about every 10 minutes, that's the closest we have to being addicted to a substance. 7 hours of screen time daily is the average. 7 hours of screen time. Think of that. 7 hours. These numbers are not, I didn't make them up. You can go look this up. 7 hours of screen time. I'm going to need help with the projector if someone can. Well, there we go. Here are the basic types of addictions. I'm not going to talk about the porn addiction. I've already talked about that before. I'm going to point out the internet addiction. I'm going to talk about a little bit about the gaming addiction. Here are some of the side effects. Here are some of the people are withdrawn. They're isolated. Socially, they're not enjoying their relationships anymore. They can't get work done on time. They're anxious. They have a lot of depression. There's a lot of rage. It's not good for your health, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on and on. I'm going to tell you a story. Mid-1980s, there was something called the Atari Shock. You may not remember this if you're young. It was called the Atari Shock. The only video games were called an Atari. And if you lived in the Middle East, you know the name, because, yeah, Atari was a name that existed. It was a company. The Atari Shock is when that video gaming company plummeted in its revenues from $3.2 billion to $100 million in 2 years. It lost 95% of it. The only time that video gaming has ever suffered economically was that time in the mid-80s. But they learned. Oh, they learned. When that happened, they learned quick. And they brought in fund failures. You know what that is? They brought in variable reimbursement or reinforcement ratios. Right here, you got to a next level. Here's a box. Open it up. You may get nothing. You may get something. You may get everything. Who knows? Just open a box. Hierarchy of stages, clan cultures. You know what these are? These are algorithms taken from casinos. These are taken from casinos to maximize time spent playing, to make sure you do marathon gaming, to play on the addictions that you have. You're not playing the game. The game is playing you. You're not playing the game. Wallah, you're not. The game is, I'm not here today to curse out gaming. I'm not saying that every aspect of it is wrong. I'm not even here to tell you to stop doing it completely. But we have to be clear on what this industry is and what it means to us. We have to be clear on that. They know. They've figured out the, and that goes for social media as well, by the way. That's clear, obviously, in social media. They'll show you the pieces of news that you agree with. And they'll continue to reinforce that. Why do you scroll? Because they know what to show you next. Like, no, I don't want to see everything. You're not smarter than the algorithm. I'm sorry. I know I think I am. I'm not smarter than the algorithm. The algorithm is way smarter than me. Yes, they'll show you something every once in a while that you don't want. So you keep on scrolling. So you look. Because if it's easy, then there's no fun failures anymore. If everything you want is right there, it's too obvious. And then the brain, that conspiracy part of you starts to ask questions. And no, they'll show you some stuff you don't want. So you have to actually look for what you want. And you feel like you did something. And you feel like you actually weeded through stuff to find what you want. No, they know it. You understand? They know it. They know that that's how you're behaving. And they're banking on it. And that's why we're spending the time we're spending. Because the algorithms, they've outsmarted us. And we don't know it yet. We don't know it yet. A lot of the behaviors affiliated with internet gaming and with social media have now made their way into the DSM, meaning they are seen as psychiatric diagnoses. They're looked at as addictions, as legit addictions today. You know what the average age of a gamer is? Do you have an idea? 33 years old. 33 years of age is the average game of average age of a gamer. And we know that kids in their teens are gaming. That means there are people in their 50s and 60s who are gaming. Do you imagine what the world would look like with a bunch of elderly people who want to game all day. I'm not going to call out the game. A month after they released this, they documented 600 million hours of game time. 68,000 years. 68,000 years were spent going like this with a headset. 68,000 years of youth. Of youth. How is that? How is that not alarming? By the age of 21, a young man would have spent 10,000 hours playing video games. In 10,000 hours, you can learn anything you want. You can walk away with a full skill set. You can learn a new language. You can have a craft. You can master a sport. You can master a discipline. By the age of 21, what this has proven to us is that we have the ability by the age of 21 to have mastered something outside of going to school and having a degree and all that stuff. Everyone does that. At least I hope so. Outside of all that, by the age of 21, you could have mastered something, meaning you are so good at it that you can write a book about it. You can actually start innovating. You have the level of knowledge of a PhD in something. Spent. I'm not here to demonize it. Wallahi, I'm not. That's not the goal of today's khutbah. Or to demonize social media. That's not what I'm doing. Listen to me very clearly. It's not what I'm doing. I'm saying that it's designed to get you addicted. It's designed to make you keep coming. It's working against you. So if you're going to use it, you have to be aware of that. If you're going to actually use it, if you're going to be a part of the gaming society, if you're going to use the social media of the internet, then you have to be aware of how they're operating so that you can protect yourself. It's about protecting yourself. It's about making sure that you're utilizing. Why does this matter? Because these are statistics about boys in Canada. I'm going to talk about boys. Let me tell you, this is what's happening to boys. These are Canadian statistics. Just to boys. These are the numbers I have about boys specifically. I don't have numbers about girls. There. Less likely to get a BA. Less likely to graduate. More likely to drop out. Two out of three of the special ed are boys. What, you think I'm upset because girls are... No, that's not why I'm saying this. This is just showing there's a problem. Because these are the breadwinners and these are the supporters of families. If we hope to have families that are going to function, then we need people who are going to be able to do their jobs. And if they can't do their jobs and boys can't don't understand what they're here to do anymore, and they're losing focus because of spending so much time gaming or so much time on social media, then we're looking at a problem. We're looking at a real problem here. So what do I have to share with you? Here are a couple of ideas. Take some long breaks. Take some nice long breaks. A couple of months. 3-4 months a year. Delete it all. Get rid of it. Try it. I do it all the time. I haven't had it for, what, this is my third month now. Doesn't matter. 3-4 months, get rid of it. Delete Facebook, Instagram, all of it. Just delete it all. You'll be fine. You'll pick up your phone, you'll stare at it, and put it down again because there's nothing to press. Pick it up again, and then you'll stop picking it up because there's nothing to do anymore. And then, you may take a look over there. There's something. And you remember what it's called? I think they used to call it a book. There's a lot of gunk all over it. After you remove all the garbage that's been sitting on it for a couple of years, and you blow all the dust on it, you may read a book. Or maybe open the door and take a walk outside. Or go visit someone. Or do something different. Take a long break. Monitor your daily quantity of use. Quantity. How much time is being spent. Monitor that. I'm not against the use of it. No, there are pros for having social media. There are pros for having gaming. There are actually positive effects of these things. But you have to monitor the quantity. You have to monitor the quality. In my opinion, that's more important. The quality of use. What are you doing online? What are you doing? What's happening? What are you spending? What are you getting out of all of this? What are you benefiting? Is it helping you in any way? How is this adding to you as a person and to your well-being and to your goals, to your longevity? What is it doing for you? The quality, the time that is spent, you ever heard of gamer thrombosis? This is a medical diagnosis. Gamer thrombosis, where they sit for so long playing that a clot runs to their lungs and they die. There's gamer rage. It's a diagnosis. Well, look it up. I'm not making this stuff up. Gamer rage, where they lose, they break everything. They break their computer and they break... Ever seen that before? Why? Why would that be the case? How is this virtue? How is this a reality being misconstrued? How are you? How is it happening? There's something seriously wrong. There's something seriously wrong. And then build better habits. Lessen all that and substitute it with better habits. Habits that are healthy for you. Healthy for your spirit. Brothers and sisters, for your spirits. You still believe you have spirits, don't you? Go rock around the world. People don't believe it anymore. They don't talk, feel all inside of you, right? You have to take care of it. Gaming and internet kills it. Shrivels away slowly. It's dying. It's dying in the drought and the emptiness of that blue wall and that open meta matrix that's out there. It's dying. Take care of your physical health. Take care of your relationships. These are the four pieces of advice I want to offer you. إخواني وأخواتي, اليوم أتحدث معكم عن الإدمان الرقمي. عن الإدمان الرقمي. والقضية أصبحت قضية كبرى خلال السنوات الأخيرة على هذا الكوكب. في صغري لم يكن الأمر يستحق الحديث عنه. لما كنت طفلا ما كان إمام يصعد منبرا يتحدث عن مسألة كهذه إذ لم تكن موجودة أصلا. ولم يكن لهذا داع. لكن اليوم الكل يعلم عن ماذا تحدث صغارنا وكبارنا. حتى الكبار دخلوا في دوامة الإدمان الرقمي. حتى الكبار يحملون تليفوناتهم وجوالاتهم وينظرون إليها ساعات طويلة, يستمعون إلى ترهات ويغوصون في متاهات الكلام الفارغ, إذ أنهم قد أتقنوا صنعة الحصول على اهتمامك. هم يعرفون كيف يحافظون على عينيك وأذنيك ملتصقتين بهم. تظن أن الذي تسمعه هو الحق, لكنهم لا يسمعونك إلا ما تريد سماعه. يسمعونك ذلك الذي تحب سماعه. نعم, وصلوا إلى هذه الدرجة من الإتقان أنهم عرفوا ما تحب, عرفوا توجهاتك السياسية والدينية والروحية إذا ولا يسمعونك إلا ما يوافق هواك, حتى تبقى حاملا جوالك ليل نهار. عرفوا مداخلنا ومخارجنا, عرفوا كيف يدخلون علينا من أبواب الإدمان على أطفالنا, على أطفال شبابا وشيبا. أنا الأوان أن نعي هذه المسألة. أنا الأوان أن نتعلم وأن نأخذ خطوة صحية, خطوة نبوية بعيدة عن هذا اللهو وعن هذا اللعب. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ما كان يرضى أن يضيع من زمانه ثانية, حتى نضيع أزماننا بالساعات بل بالسنين ننظر إلى شاشات ونستمع إلى كلام لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم, فاستغفروه يغفر لكم. يا فوز المستغفرين, استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. That was a summary of today's khutbah. It was honestly much longer than that, but I want to address a few things. The number one issue. I think contemporary to this city. The trial that is going on regarding the Afzal family, may Allah have mercy and compassion upon their soul, ajma'in, Allahumma ameen, that is going on in Windsor is a very, very difficult thing to watch. I don't even know if I should be advising you to listen into it. There are ways for you to go. There are places for you to go. You can go downtown to the courthouse and you can be tuned in to listen. I don't know if I should advise you to do it. It's very hard to listen to. It's hurtful on every level. It reminds us of a time, in my opinion, that time was one of the most difficult times that we went through as a city for as long as I've been here. So if you do feel like you want to go and you want to support that family and support us by attending, make sure you're in the right place mentally. Make sure you're in the right place emotionally. And go with a friend or two. And you can go down to the courthouse and there are information that will be shared with you to where to go and how to access it. But make a lot of dua. And if you need to grieve, grieve. And if you need someone to share with, make sure you have people to share your feelings with, especially if you're close to the family and you recall in detail what occurred. But it is going on. It'll be for a number of weeks to come. And I'm just finding it very difficult to process a lot of what's being said and how it's going through. So if you feel the same, then know that you're not alone. And if you're like, I can't deal with it, don't feel bad. That's fine. Stay away. Stay away until it's over. No one will blame you because it is difficult to be subjected to all of that. The second issue is what occurred in Morocco and Libya over the week. Wallahi, heart-wrenching, just some of the most difficult images. It took, for a Syrian, to say that, I think, it took me back to things we saw. It's very difficult. May Allah grant them strength and perseverance and grant those who deceased rahmah from min ladunhu subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think that when these things happen, it's an opportunity for us to remind our brothers and sisters that they are not alone. That as a Libyan or a Moroccan, whether if you are grieving and if you are feeling pain and if you are feeling fear, that you do not stand alone. You do have brothers and sisters who share your pain, who share your grief, who share your fear, who stand by you, who make dua for you, who were a part of your ummah. And I think we are offered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala these opportunities so that we can practice that as a group. That no, you're not in this alone. You don't stand alone. You don't grieve alone. You grieve with us as a group. And it's just been very difficult to watch the images and what happened, the earthquake and then the ongoing flooding that's happening in these parts of the world. So today, inshallah, after Jummah, we'll have Salat al-Ghaib on all of the victims and both, if you would like to stay and attend that. And if any of the brothers and sisters from these parts who have family in those backgrounds require help, then reach out to us and we will try and help, inshallah, with arranging or whatever help we can offer, inshallah ta'ala. The LMM and the MAC both have set up ways for donation for their brothers and sisters in Morocco and in Libya. So you're welcome to access that. And there's Action for Humanity and Islamic Relief. They all have campaigns now for their brothers and sisters in Morocco. So please, donate. We were actually going to talk about our financial status. We're not going to do that for this month. We're going to completely postpone that. Whatever you want to offer, offer it for our brothers and sisters who are suffering overseas, inshallah, and make sure that you put your donations out for them. Forgive me for taking too much time. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الكرب عن المكروبين. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وعاف مبتلانا ومبتلى المسلمين. اللهم ارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا وعن جميع المسلمين. اللهم ارحم إخواننا المستضعفين والمنكوبين في المغرب وليبيا. اللهم فرج همومهم ونفس كروبهم وتول أمورهم وارحم ضعفهم. اللهم اكس عورتهم يا أرحم الراحمين بكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي.